It's interesting for me to come back into your presence repeatedly. I've come here multiple times already today, and I'm grateful that because of Jesus Christ, I have access to you all of the time, and encouragement from you to come continually and to come boldly, courageously, not because of any merits of my own, but because of the merits of Jesus Christ. And so I'm grateful that Jesus has bore my sin away in his own body, and it's carried no more by me or by Christ. He's been crucified for my sin. I'm grateful for his resurrection. I'm grateful for his high priestly service right now, and I'm grateful that through him I can once again come before you and give you worship that you are worthy of receiving. Even in saying that, I recognize I do not have words to offer to you that would be appropriate to you. So I'm grateful for your grace to me even now. Father, we come this morning, and it's our desire to receive grace from you. We want to hear from your word. So I pray that the scripture that we read and the few verses this morning that we meditate on, that we would receive from you, that we would take it from you, that we would hear your voice in the text, and that we would believe you and believe what you say concerning your Son and concerning ourselves, that we would embrace your promises as all of them are yes in Jesus Christ. And so I just pray that today as we spend time now thinking on a few verses of Scripture, that we would be encouraged, our faith would be built up, and I pray that you would enable us by your Spirit to be administrators of your grace this morning to one another. I thank you for each one that's here. I thank you for your patience and your perseverance with us. Thankful for the way that you are able to persevere and grow us and mature us. Grateful that you will complete the work that you began. And we ask that you would continue that work even this morning as we sit under your word today. We love you. We recognize you've loved us first. You've demonstrated and given your love in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I have a question for you this morning as we get started. It's a very simple question, very easy question. And the question is this: what's the best news you've ever been told? What's the best thing you've ever heard? Best news you've ever been told? That's an easy question, and I wouldn't doubt that if we were to spend some time in conversation, that all of us would have an opportunity to think that through. What's the best news I've ever heard? And we could share that with one another. And it's an easy enough question. I think you could go to work tomorrow morning, or you could go home this afternoon, and you could interact with your neighbors, your family members, peers, co-workers, whatever, and you could ask that question, hey, what's the best news you've ever heard? What's the best thing you've ever been told? And you would probably get a variety of answers to that question. You might hear responses some people you might ask, what's the best news you've ever heard? And an older generation, they might say, the best news I ever heard is the war is over. Some might say, the best news I ever heard is we're getting married. We're going to have a baby. My cancer is in remission. I'm not guilty. Best news I ever heard is my dad told me I was pretty. My wife told me she was proud of me. Our grant proposal was accepted. The sale on our home went through. We received the job offer we've always wanted. We could probably have quite an array of answers if we were to just simply ask the question, hey, what's the best thing you've ever heard? And if you were to ask the question to people on the street or coworkers or neighbors, it would provoke a very positive conversation, because you're going to cause them to think through something that's very positive, the best news they've ever heard. And the interesting thing about that, no matter what their answer is, they would probably share, after a little bit of thought, they'd probably share with you the best news they've ever heard. And because it's such a positive conversation, they'd probably turn the question around and they'd ask you, well, what's the best news you've ever heard? And it would create quite an interesting conversation. So if you were asked the question, or if you were going to answer the question, what's the best news you've ever been told? I'm going to share with you just a few verses of Scripture this morning that I think should fall on all of us. Well, I know it should fall on all of us as good news. How about this? Best news you've ever heard. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And from His fullness, we've all received grace upon grace upon grace. Is that good news? Is that like some of the best news you've ever heard? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Boy, that's really good news. Because if the Word did not become flesh, we would all still be hopelessly lost. Humanity was broken off from God. Humanity disobeyed God. Humanity sinned against God. And in sinning against God, we were broken off from God. We needed a God-sized rescue. And God, the Word, Jesus Christ, became flesh, became a man, and dwelt among us so that He might reconcile us to God. He might repair our brokenness from God as a human. The Word became flesh. God became a man. And as a man, Jesus was successful where we had failed. Jesus was obedient where we were disobedient. And God was pleased with Jesus' humility, His sacrifice, His service. God was pleased with Jesus' devotion. God was pleased with Jesus' dedication. God was pleased with Jesus' consecration. And He displayed His pleasure in His Son by raising Him from the dead. And God has exalted Jesus and given Him a name that is above every name, and Jesus will be universally recognized as Lord. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. Best news you've ever heard? It's the Christmas story, right? I'm sharing with you the Christmas message, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We see it in John chapter 1. You can see it in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you jump down to verse 16, and from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Oh, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made Him known. This is good news. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How about this? Best news you've ever heard. If you want to be prepared, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We were here just a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a long time here. But how about this good news? Best news you've ever heard. God has revealed to us His eternal plan. Now that alone is good news, folks. Because if God did not reveal to us His eternal plan, we would never know what it was. And we would never imagine it, nor would we ever make it up. God has revealed to us His eternal plan. His eternal plan is what? To bring everything in heaven and on earth under the authority of Jesus Christ. Where angels failed, Jesus succeeded. Where humanity failed, Jesus succeeded. God's eternal plan is to bring everything in heaven and on earth under the authority of Jesus Christ. And those of us who have believed God concerning what He said about His Son, those of us who have believed God have been united to Jesus, and we have come into everything that God has given to Jesus Christ. You want to see it in the text? Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is the plan. What's the plan? At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Jesus, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. All right, so here's the good news. God has promised to give to Jesus everything in heaven and on earth. United to Jesus by faith, I have received an inheritance as a co-heir with Christ. What has God promised to give Jesus? What has God promised to give Jesus? Everything on heaven and on earth. Having been united to Jesus by faith, what is my inheritance? The same thing. Wow, this is rather huge, wouldn't you think? I have an earthly father. I'm not expecting much of an inheritance from my earthly father. He retired from Walmart. I'm not expecting much from my earthly father by way of an inheritance, but I'm not disappointed because you should hear about the inheritance that I've received from my heavenly father. It's everything united under Jesus' authority in heaven and on earth. I am going to rule and reign with Christ in a new heaven and a new earth. Is this huge? Now, is this the best news you've ever heard? This is huge. I hope you didn't think I was going to come and share with you something small. Like, the best news I've ever heard is God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. Doesn't that seem really small? God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. He wants me to have a wonderful marriage and well-balanced children and a balanced budget and temporal success. He wants me to be quite flourishing in this earth. How about this? God loves Jesus. And God has a wonderful plan for Jesus Christ to unite everything in heaven and on earth under his authority, because Jesus was successful where we all failed. Grace to you and me is to be invited into what God has for Jesus. That's good news. God has a wonderful plan for my life. He wants my life to end. He wants my life to be over. He wants my life to be crucified with Christ and risen with Christ in a whole new life. And it's not my life, it's Christ's life. Are you following me? We don't invite Jesus into our life. My life is a broken mess. God invites us into Jesus' life, and God has a wonderful plan for Jesus to unite everything in heaven and earth under his authority. And I've been brought into that inheritance. And you know what? It's grace to me. It's not earned. I didn't achieve this. God gave it. Is that good news? Are y'all just still thinking through? It is huge. God's love for me is so magnanimous that I cannot begin to comprehend what God has in store for me. You following that? God's love for me is so huge, I cannot begin to comprehend all that God has in store for me because I love him because of what he's done for me in Jesus Christ. Best news I've ever heard. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The Word that became flesh is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom God has promised everything. United to Jesus by God's grace through believing God, I have an inheritance as a co-heir with Christ. This is all huge. How about this? Best news you've ever heard. Best story you've ever been told. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Best news you've ever heard? It's not even true. If you've been saved by grace, you are no longer a sinner. Your identity has been radically changed. If you have been saved by grace, you are no longer a sinner. Oh, you still struggle with sin, and you still are putting it off, and you're learning to live by faith, and you're learning to put actions of the old nature to death, but you are not a sinner. If you have been saved by grace, you are not a sinner. You have become something new, a whole new creation. I would challenge you in the New Testament to find any place where a Christian, a child of God, is called a sinner. I would challenge you to go read 1 John chapter 3, which says the person who has been born of God no longer continues to make a practice of sinning. They have a new nature. According to the Bible, you're now a saint, one of God's holy people, a child of God, one of the beloved. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. God saves people from their sin. Not so that they could continue on as a sinner saved by grace, but so that they could live up to the calling they've received as one of God's holy children. You have a whole new identity. To say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, is not true. Because if you've been saved by grace, you are no longer a sinner. You are now a saint, a child of God. A building, a bride, a body, a branch, not a sinner. You following me? When a person says, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, it sounds like they're expecting to continue to sin and coddle that which was once killing them. That's biblically absurd. We are now to be putting off and putting to death that which was once killing us, and we now have the power to do it because we've been united to Jesus Christ, given God's Spirit. We have a whole new life to live. So to go along and say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, it sounds like sin, 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 that's all I do. That's what you can expect of me. Well, that's strange. God has a completely different expectation of you. If he saved you by his grace, he's making you perfect. And when Jesus appears, you will be perfect. And if God is taking you there, that's kind of the expectation I have for me, and that's kind of the expectation I have for you. I realize that we're not going to be perfect in that until we see Christ, but that's the goal. Paul said, I'm pressing on to make that my goal. I'm not just a sinner saved by grace, and sin is what you can expect of me. No, I'm now a child of God, a saint. I'm pressing on to take hold of that which has been taken hold of for me in Jesus Christ. How about this good news? Better good news than I'm just a sinner saved by grace. How about this? This is Hebrews 10:14. I won't have you turn there. It's a verse I've shared with you before. It's a verse I absolutely love. For by a single offering, he has perfected forever. Doesn't that sound good already? For by a single offering, he has perfected forever those who are being made perfect. Let's think about it a little bit. Best news you've ever heard? For by a single offering, what offering are we talking about? The offering of Jesus Christ. Who gave Jesus as an offering? God gave Jesus as an offering, and Jesus willingly came. So, for by a single offering, namely the offering of Jesus Christ, God has perfected forever those who are being made perfect, those who are being sanctified. The good news is, by God's grace, through believing what he has told me concerning his Son, I have been perfected, I am being perfected, and I will be perfect. One day you're going to see a perfect Mark Hazen. Isn't that awesome? I wasn't perfect in July 12th, 1998, and I'm not perfect July 12th, 2015. But God is making me perfect. According to this verse, it means I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. You've heard me say this before, right? I have been saved. When I heard the good news from God concerning his Son, and I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, I was gloriously saved. What do we call that? Justification. I have been saved when I heard the good news from God concerning his Son, and I believed God. I am being saved right now from this present evil world. As I'm learning to live by faith and put off sin, I am being saved. For by a single offering, God has perfected forever those who are being saved. I'm being saved because of what Christ has done for me, and I will be saved when Jesus returns. And I see him face to face, and I will be like him. And my salvation will be consummated and complete. And this is all grace to me. It's all gift, and it's all good news, because I've been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ because of what Christ has done, single offering for my sin. So those of you here today who hold to a once saved, always saved doctrine, and I would expect that'd be a good number of you, I want to come and encourage you, don't forget the middle, because in the middle there's a lot of living to do. In the middle, there's a lot of life. And it's grace to you and me to be being saved at the present. Because that's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ too. I'm not just saved when I die. I have been saved, and I'm being saved right now. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly passions, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those of you who believe in a once saved, always saved, don't forget the middle. We are being saved by God's grace because of a single offering of Jesus Christ. And the fact that we're being saved lets us know that we have been saved and we will be saved. We have great assurance. And it's all by grace, through faith, because of what Christ has done. I've not earned this. This is good news to me. This is grace to me. Taking God at his word unites me to Jesus Christ. It's good news. Well, let me share with you one last. Some of you are in Romans chapter 1, so go there. Romans chapter 1, last passage I'm going to share with you this morning. Paul's writing to the church in Rome. He says, this letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. Now, that's good news. If you don't think being a slave of God is good news, then you've got a wrong view of God. It's a glorious blessing to be a slave of Christ. and to belong to God this way. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, which means God has promised this good news back in the Old Testament. The good news is about his son, Jesus Christ. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them, so that they might believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. And you were included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. I'm writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his own holy people. If you jump down to verse 16, for I am not ashamed of this good news, not ashamed of the gospel about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how to be made right in God's sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. The one point of this message this morning, if you just want one point, I've taken you to four passages of scripture. The point is this: the best news you'll ever hear is good news from God about his son, Jesus Christ. Best news you'll ever hear is news from God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And you believe that good news, and you're united to Jesus, who is the gospel, and you're reconciled to God, who is the good news. I've shared with you three passages this morning, three verses, quite frankly, not even three paragraphs. I've shared with you John chapter 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. I've shared with you Ephesians chapter 1, God has a wonderful plan for Jesus. That's unite everything in heaven and earth under the authority of Christ. And united to Jesus, you have been brought into that inheritance. And I've shared with you Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering, God has perfected forever those who are being made holy. I've shared with you three verses, all of them just glorious good news. Here's my concern. I've shared with you three verses on three pages from this book. This book is from God, about God, so that you might know God and believe God and be united to God. We find God in every page of this book. We're good news people. We have a good news message to share. We have a word from God concerning his son, and believing God, we're united to Jesus Christ and brought into all of that, and all of God's promises are yes in Jesus Christ. We've got good news to share, right? And it's on every page. I've shared with you three pages of scripture is all. My concern is this: if in the world in which we live, people have an understanding of what Christians believe about gender issues, homosexual marriage, abortion, immigration, gun control. If they understand our opinion on all these matters without hearing from us good news from God concerning his son Jesus, we have failed at our mission. We're good news people. How about this one? You all thought I was going to share this verse this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that the best news you've ever heard? Some of you are like, we're not sure how to answer anymore. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't send in his Son into the world to condemn the world, no, but to save the world. Don't we have a message? We are called disciples of Jesus Christ. We are to go out and make disciples of Jesus Christ. We have good news to share, right? So if people understand all of our opinions about all sorts of topics that have relevance, I don't want to say this does not have relevance, but if they understand all of our opinions and positions on all sorts of matters, but they don't understand our opinion about Jesus Christ, we have failed, my friends. You can go to work tomorrow, and you can say, hey, what do you think about this gender marriage issue? You'll create a conversation, and you'll hear an opinion, and you'll probably hear opinion with quite a bit of passion, no matter who you talk to. And if you ask someone, hey, what do you think about this, you know, gender, this homosexual marriage stuff, you'll get an answer, and you know what? When they're all done answering, they're going to say, well, what do you think? And you can share your opinion. You can even share your opinion from God's Word. How much easier to say, hey, what's the best thing you've ever heard? What's the best news you've ever received? They might tell you about Jesus. Or they might say, my dad told me I was pretty. My husband told me he was proud of me. My cancer is in remission. We're going to have a baby. You might hear all sorts of answers. And it's going to be a really positive answer because you're asking them, what's the best thing you've ever heard? They're going to give you a positive answer. And when they're done with that, they'll probably say, what's the best thing you've ever heard? And you have an answer from nearly every page of Scripture. I shared with you John 1, Ephesians 1, Hebrews 10. Now John 3:16, how easy is that? Best news I've ever heard is from God. It's concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. I've taken God at His word, and I've been united to everything God has given to Jesus. This is glorious good news. The other thing I'm concerned about is this book is filled with a message from God concerning His Son on nearly every page, and we are good news people, so let's get into this book. Let's share it. The other thing I'm concerned with is we so often answer with cliches that are half true at best. God has a wonderful plan for my life. Yeah, God's plan for me is to die. We never share that. God wants my life to end because my life stinks. It's broken and it's a mess. God has a plan for my life. He wants my life to end and to be joined to Jesus, who is life. And who is eternal life, and who promises me abundant life. Jesus is my life. God loves Jesus and has a wonderful plan for Jesus. And I've been joined to that. And it's all by grace, through faith, because of what Christ has done. But we share cliches. God has a wonderful plan for my life. God accepts you just as you are. Is that good news? It is good news, but there's a little bit of brokenness there. God accepts you just the way you are. That's right. It means no matter how deep your sin, no matter how messed up you are, God will receive you. Even if your mother and father reject you, God will have you. But when we say God accepts you just as you are and we leave it at that, it sounds like if we met Taylor Swift, we'd be more affected. You following me? If you meet Taylor Swift, your life will never be the change. But if you meet Jesus, He accepts you as you are. You'll see Him and leave unchanged because Jesus is rather unaffecting. Are you following me? We're talking about God, the Word who became flesh, and we beheld His glory. And we say, oh, the best news I've ever heard is God accepts you as you are. Yeah, He'll probably forgive you of your sin and say, go and sin no more. And your desires for sin will radically change. Because you don't meet Jesus and be unaffected by the meeting. You with me? You follow where I'm getting at? We are good news people. The good news is from God. It's concerning His Son. We have good news on every page. Let's share the good news. And let's make sure what we are sharing is not just some Christian cliche that really doesn't it's powerless. We just read Romans chapter 1. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. I even have a hard time defending that from the Scripture. But if I say, God loves you, for God so loves you that He gave His only Son, and I start sharing the gospel, that has the power in it because it's God's Word to bring about new life in everyone who believes. So let's be good news people. Let's ambassador Christ, as we were told. And it's not a difficult job, right? It'd be difficult if we had bad news to share, but we have good news to share, so let's share it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, it is grace to us that You have revealed Yourself at all. Grace to us that You've revealed Yourself so that we might know You and believe You and be related to You as Your children. Grace to You that You communicated to us not only in written Scripture, but You communicated to us by giving us Jesus, who is the Word of God, who became one of us. Christ, the exact representation of Your being in flesh on this planet. You have revealed Yourself so again we might believe You, be united to you. We thank you for Christ. Father, we thank you that through faith in what you communicate concerning your Son, through faith in Jesus Christ, we're reconciled to you, we're forgiven, we're made new, we're given new lives, new identity, new purpose, and eternal life. We're grateful that Jesus Christ is coming back, and that when we see him, we will be complete and finished. Grateful that you will complete what you've started. We just have good news to share, and it's from you, and it's all about Jesus. Grace to us is to be joined to that. Oh, we're thankful people. Father, once again, I pray that as we go out into the world this week, I pray that we would take advantage of every opportunity that you give us to just ambassador you and ambassador you well. Strengthen us for that. Give us courage for that. Help us not to back away from that. Our temptation is to not identify with you, but help us to identify with you fully and to do it publicly and to share good news and see people changed by the power of the gospel. Your word concerning your Son. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the good news you've given us. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. I believe we have a song that we'll close our service with this morning.